Blog Talk Radio. And welcome, everyone, to The Blitz here on Blog Talk Radio and UltimateSportsTalk.com. It's playoff weekend, and in Gridiron, Queensland, and in FXF Female Extreme Football Mexico, our favorite little lady, Sam Gordon, has a new video out. Follow her for the link on Twitter at Sam_Gordon6. Plus, awesome November sales at the Project Shop. Thanks, everyone. I'm your host, Nkeshi Free, and you can follow me on Twitter at Keshi's Cuties, KESHICUTIES, to chat football and use the hashtag NoJokeFootball. And reminder, our No Joke Football Huddle is sponsored by Zazzle.com. Once again, I'm joined by my two awesome co-hosts, Eric Brown at Fit for Life, and his Twitter handle is at Fit for Life, FITFORLYFE, and Erica Lynn Anderson at GridironGirl.org and NFL Pro Talk. So, guys, what's going on? How was your weekend?
Been good. Been a good weekend.
Yes, been going pretty good. Busy as ever, but still enjoying it.
We got absolutely. What did you?
We did.
How much snow did you get?
I live a mile high. I would say 3 inches or so. So we woke up this morning, car was buried, so it was fun.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that. They're talking about snow here on the East Coast soon. Well, at least in the Mid Atlantic and the DC area. What about you, Eric?
Well, I do not miss that, which is why we moved here to the Dallas area, because it just emotionally, physically, you could just feel it. It's like, oh, I got to get out of here. So yes, I am glad I am done with all that.
Well, yeah, you're the lucky one. I got a net from my brother saying that they're talking about getting some of that white stuff either this weekend or next weekend, so I'm certainly not looking forward to it. So anything else interesting going on this weekend for you guys or the past week?
No, I'm not.
Well, for me, nothing out of the ordinary, really. Just trying to keep up with all these games so we can have a wonderful show like we always do. But other than that, just regular weekend.
Well, then let's jump right into it. With lots of college football action this weekend, again, I invite everyone to follow Gridiron Girl for tailgating ideas and recipes, plus updates from their bloggers. Let's do the women's game rundown brought by Zazzle.com. Go to Zazzle.com/gridironbeauties and get 15% off on every item. Use the code HOLIDAYMADE for discounts now through December 23rd. Let's keep up with the women's scene every weekend and go to our timeline at Gridiron Beauties on Twitter and Facebook for the latest updates. Now, if we go down under to Australia, as the Queensland ladies are in the semifinals playoffs, our top four teams faced each other and former champs Logan City Jets versus the Steelers, plus the current champs at GS Stingrays versus Kenmore Panthers. The results we posted on our timeline. And our No Joke Football supporters, Christy Moran of the Jets And Lauren Evans of GC are amazing. Christy Moran won awards for season highs with offensive player and MVP honors again, so congrats to Christy. Our Jets look for a historic third Summer Bowl appearance. Given their loss in 2013, championship versus champs, GS Stingrays 12-18. Jets are 1-1 in title games, and visit gridironqld.asn.au for Summer Bowl III final matchups. And Gridiron Victoria and Twitter at GridironVIC on Twitter. Follow them weekly using the hashtag GVWomens for game day updates. Our champs, Western Foxes, remain undefeated, and they clinch a playoff spot in the TGI Fridays Vic Bowl 2014 on December the 14th. They will face site host Berwick Diamonds, who finished second. Shout out to the talented Michelle Palmer, number 60. Follow her at hashtag at Shell Palmer. And get the details about Vic Bowl events planned by visiting gridironvictoria.com.au. Moving on ahead, in Gridiron New South Wales, visit at GridironSW on Twitter or visit their website, gridironsw.org.au, for standings and matchups this week. In Mexico, LIBF, visit their official site at www.libf.com.mx for details plus updates on Twitter at LIBFOFCIAL for results. Also, LIBF announced its official magazine debut of Firuza LIBF Live Force, available at every game day event. And excuse me. And fighting off this nasty cold. Excuse me, guys. I'm really sorry about that. In FX Mexico action, check out our Facebook for playoff updates and MVP nominees. It's playoff time for all three divisions. Follow them on Twitter at FXF_Mexico and at Facebook FXF Female Extreme Football for a weekly update. Oh, moving on ahead, follow the Australian season and how it unfolds by keeping up to date on the latest Gridiron Victoria, Queensland, ACT, and New South Wales action by following at Women's Gridiron on Twitter and visit Women's Gridiron Leagues of Australia on Facebook. We want to remind everyone, tryouts for Women's Gridiron in North America for 2015 are on now. Follow our network for the latest tryout updates at WFB Talk. You can also find information at Backseat Coach, at GI Queendom, and at Miss Gridiron 9 for the latest updates. And that's women's news. Follow us for the latest on Twitter at Gridiron Beauty or Facebook.com/Gridiron Beauties. So let's get into the huddle talking NFL game day. And again, our huddle is sponsored by Zazzle.com. Also, for those of you who are playing fantasy football, remember to follow our guest of last week, the Fantasy Greek, for all of the fantasy tips and updates and insight. And I tell you, he was awesome to have on last week. Really great information. So let's go to Erica now. We want to talk a little bit about Erica's rant this week. Erica, can you give us some updates on your rant and where people can listen in and tune in?
Yeah, I recorded a rant. You can find that at gridirongirl.org under the Pro Talk section. It's also on Gridiron Girl's YouTube channel, so you can search Gridiron Girl on YouTube. And I talk about, you know, stupid running back decisions and mean fans. So, yeah, just give my, you know, take on the stupid decisions people make.
And was there anything in particular that really just upset you this week?
Yeah, I mean, you mean like last week's football? Like when I did
yes.
my... Yeah, mm-hmm. you know, it was really the running back, you know, the running back for the 49ers, the running back, well, he was with the Steelers, he's now back with the Pats, but, you know, that they decided to leave the game early, it just really pissed me off. I mean, these guys are getting paid well to do this, They have a fantastic job that anybody would kill for, and they act like big babies because things aren't going their way. I mean, there's a reason why they're not the head coach, you know. They are players, and it is their job to be teammates and to encourage and celebrate their teammates, and they decided to, unfortunately, you know, not do that. So that really, really got to me, let me tell you.
Well, I totally understand exactly where you're coming from. Eric, did you have anything that you wanted to add?
Well,
either
I did get a chance
to the rant? Uh-huh.
Yeah, I did get a chance to see the rant, and I thought it was – I actually started laughing when Erica said she would caution any other team that was interested in picking up LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah.
And that he ended up back on the Patriots. So I kind of started laughing after that, but yeah, I get you. I understand your point about, you know, they're highly paid. You know, it's a job that most people would kill for, and I mean, I totally agree that, you know, they're, you know, acting, you know, immature and acting like babies. But on the other hand, I can kind of understand it because, I mean, well. I'll preface it by saying this. You never know what's going on behind closed doors. And I say that because a lot of these guys have incentive-laden contracts to where they have to do certain things in order to get certain bonuses on top of their pay. So, for example, you may have a running back that may have in his contract that, you know, if you get X amount of carries, you know, you get a $1 million bonus. So if he's going into a game where he needs, like, maybe – you know, 3-4 more carries to get that extra $1 million, and he gets benched for some reason, I'd be pretty hot too. Not saying that I would, you know, take off my equipment and go to the locker room before the game is over or anything like that, but I mean, I can, if that's the case, I can appreciate how, you know, someone would be, you know, pretty hot about that. But I mean, you know,
yeah,
you are a professional
true.
Athlete. And you are expected to, people do hold you to a certain standard. And, you know, you should respect that, respect the opportunity that you have. So by no means do I condone their actions, but I do understand it.
That's a good point. I never thought of it like that, obviously, because I've never played football or really, I know you've been kind of involved in some of the business side of football a bit with scouting and things, so that is a good point. You know, that, and like you said, it's not to condone their actions, but it is to offer another a viewpoint that probably the average fan doesn't realize that they, you know, I know a lot of these guys, they do have it built in that they need to get to the playoffs or do certain things to earn certain money, but.
Right.
Well, I think that I totally understand and I agree with both points. I think that, yes, if you have something built into your contract and you're trying to, you know, reach certain milestones, then, yes, it is frustrating to be benched. However, at the same time, and this is, you know, my viewpoint, is that there are young kids watching your behavior. And there has to be a certain level of professionalism. And in as much as you as a player have every right to be frustrated when something is happening that impacts and affects your contract, because that's your money. And this is your body, and you're putting it out there, and I totally understand that. I still think that taking off your equipment and walking off the field, that part of it's not acceptable. There's a way to handle everything. I mean, I can't just go walk off my job because I'm mad. You know, I can't just not show up just because I'm upset and then just say, you know, forget it, and then think that I have a right to come back next week. If I try to come back the next day, there'll be a box waiting for me. You know, and I just think that in that regard, and as much as you have every right to be upset, there's just a different way to handle it. And I think I can understand where both of you are coming from in that regard. So moving right along, let's, you know, keep sticking with football. Am I the only person who is pleasantly surprised by the Oakland Raiders winning on Thursday night?
That didn't surprise me probably as much as other. I talked about it. I think I talked about it on the other show I did this week where, you know, divisional games have that thing with them. They're just like that, you know, where the slate is clean. It doesn't matter what kind of records you have coming in. Divisional games are tricky. And, you know, Thursday proved that, you know, that, you know, hadn't won a game all season. It didn't matter that the Chiefs were poised to take over the AFC West. They just, you know, the slate was wiped clean, and the Raiders just had it that night.
Yeah, it was definitely.
Well, I know that.
I
agree.
Playing in the rain on a messy field, and you know, don't forget those guys get paid too. They got a lot of pride too, and you know, eventually they were going to win at least one, and it just happened to be the Chiefs that night.
Yep. Yeah. It you felt bad kind of for the Chiefs that they were the ones, because you, like you said, you knew that at some point the Raiders were going to win. It was just kind of like a lottery. Which team is going to give it up, you know? And
right,
you said, it just so happened it was the Chiefs. So you know, you can't come down on the Chiefs too hard. It's not like, oh, my gosh, the Chiefs suck now. It's just more like, hey, it happened, and they got to move on to next week.
Well, I was very happy. I wasn't sure that they were going, that Oakland was going to win, but I'm very happy that they did. And I agree with you about those divisional games and that you just never know. I was also extremely happy for Charles Woodson. I think that what he has brought to the game of football is just it's unbelievable. It's phenomenal. And I was extremely happy for him, you know, to be able to get that win and, you know, with those career highlights. And I think that, you know, again, that's someone, like what Eric said, is, you know, very proud, and he really and truly needed that win. And I just never want to see another, you know, 2008 Lions season. I mean, never to any team, and especially not to a team like the Raiders. I mean, that is such a historic franchise. And the fans and the black hole and what that organization as a whole, I think, means to the NFL and the history of the game, I think that their fans deserve better, you know, than an 0-16 season. So I was extremely happy for them that they got the win. And then like what Erica was saying, you know, about the divisional rivalries. But what I've noticed this season is that the teams who are on top seem to be losing to the teams that are totally at the bottom, the people who you never thought were supposed to beat you. You know, like the Broncos losing to St. Louis. That was a total shocker to me. And then, like, just going with the Broncos again tonight, you know, Denver, 39 over 36 over Miami. Over Miami. Who would have thought that Miami would be 3 points away from beating the Denver Broncos this season?
Right.
So,
yeah.
I think
Miami
Oh, no, go ahead.
Go ahead, Eric.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to say that's exactly what the NFL was looking for. They wanted parity, and you know, they've had it for some time now. So, you know, any team can beat anybody, and the difference between the worst teams and the best teams is so small that if the best team is not completely focused on the task at hand, then, you know, they can give it up just as easily as one of the bad teams.
Yep.
Yeah,
and,
I think,
you know,
this
Miami
season gives a new definition to. Yeah, well, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Erica.
Oh, no, I was just saying, Miami surprisingly has been, you know, pretty decent this year. You know, they beat the Pats once already this season, and they've had some quality wins. I think Tannehill's kind of coming into his own. You know, Denver coming back and beating Miami was Miami's defense letting them down, really. And Tannehill didn't, you know, he threw some picks and stuff in some crucial times. But, I've been impressed with Miami so far. I think that they're really building a team, and I think here in a couple of years the Pats are going to have some real competition in the AFC East.
I definitely can see that. I think what I was going to say was this whole season gives new definition to any given Sunday. Because I don't think that there are any clear winners. And another perfect example of that was the Chiefs and the New England Patriots. Sorry, Erica, I don't mean to bring that back up again. But, I mean, that's a perfect example of you just, You just don't know. You literally don't know what team is going to show up. Even from myself, as you all know, I'm a diehard Cowboys fan. And that Redskins team that beat the Cowboys in Dallas, I haven't seen that team since. But they showed up that night.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure.
Now, are there any other games from this weekend that, you know, stood out to you all, or any other games that caught your attention?
Well, personally, of course,
being a Bears fan, and you know, Lovie Smith coming back into Soldier Field with Tampa Bay, I was kind of keeping my eye on that game. So Bears were able to pull that one out. But I guess the bigger one I was looking at was Arizona and Seattle. See if Arizona might be able to pull that out on the road, which, of course, they didn't. But, you know, that was, to me, that was kind of a key thing to see, okay, what's going to happen in that division.
Yeah. That was a hard game, you know, going into Seattle. You know, Quest is certainly a hard place to play. Drew Stanton, he looked really unsettled back there. He looked just intimidated, honestly. I think the hype around the Seahawks defense, I don't know if that's what it was or if he just was having an off day, but he just looked really unsettled back there. And, you know, the Cardinals defense was pretty solid from what I saw. I mean, you know, they blocked a kick and, you know, they had some good plays. It was just, you know, I think playing in Seattle had a lot to do with that performance.
Well, with and see, and that's what I'm wondering, you know, with the Cardinals right now leading the NFC West, and after the way that Stanton played today and after the way Seattle played today, are the Cardinals a real deal? I mean, do you think that they will be able to keep this up and maintain this lead that they have in their division throughout the rest of the season, or do you think that Seattle will be able to come in and steal it and be able to take over?
I think the Cardinals can do it. I think that they obviously have to play better than they did today. Drew Stanton has to, you know, pull it together. He has to get over the nerves and just, you know, play. I mean, he played a phenomenal game last week. He just has to, you know, connect with the receivers and the O-line has to do their job and protect him so that he can do that. And I think it's definitely possible for them to win that division. We've seen a quality team and, you know, so far they, you know, they're 9-2 now. That's a pretty dang good record. And so, you know, the Seahawks haven't lived up to their potential or kind of the hype that they were this season. But that, I don't know. I still think that in that division, I still think the Cardinals are the best team, in my opinion.
Eric, what about you?
Yeah, I agree. I definitely think they're for real. I mean, you know, you can't fake, you know, getting to 9-2. I think the question is, you know, once the playoffs start, you know, what will they do? Because I've seen teams, you know, go pretty much close to undefeated the whole season and get bounced out of the playoffs in the first round. So for them at this point, the key will be, okay, what are they going to do in the playoffs? You know, they've proven they're for real. They've proven they can, you know, win at home and on the road. Now it's just a matter of, you know, can they get it done in the playoffs? So we shall see here pretty soon.
Yeah.
Okay.
And how about those Pats today? Playing the number one defense in the league and, oh, yeah, putting up 34 points and only allowing them 3 field goals. Heck, yeah, they neutralized Megatron. It was sweet.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you who else I'm surprised that they were able to neutralize, and that was Ndamukong Suh. I really just did not see much out of him. And really, I don't know if it's because of his fear of all of the penalties and all of the, you know, that he's gotten over the past two seasons, but this Ndamukong Suh looks like a shell of a person, you know, that we've seen over the past couple of years. And it's almost like he's holding back. Am I the only person who noticed that?
Well, I mean, the Patriots have a pretty serious offensive line, so I'm sure they weren't going to let him come in there and be pushing them around. So you have to take that into consideration. But, he's been pretty solid, pretty much the whole year. Maybe he just had an off game, I don't know. But the Pats do have a pretty decent offensive line, so he would have to be Superman today.
Yeah,
right.
Brady wasn't knocked down at all. The O-line did put up a pretty impressive performance there. You know, the Lions' defense, I think Sue is definitely, like you said, Eric, been solid. I mean, I was looking up the stats there. The Lions have the number one defense in the league in yards, in rushing yards allowed, in net yards, in points. I think in passing yards, they're fifth. So they're a pretty solid defense. So that was my big concern, with the pass. And that we put up 34 points, I was excited. So.
Well, I can definitely understand, and I totally feel you on that one. So speaking of the defense, J.J. Watt, does he deserve to be in the conversation for MVP? I know we're switching, but since we're talking about defense, what J.J. Watt has done this year is just incredible. And I know normally the whole MVP conversation generally tends to favor offensive players. But I think Watt certainly deserves to be in the MVP conversation this year. Let's start with you, Eric. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. The first thing I look at when you're talking about MVPs is if you take them off that team, or they have to sit for an extended period of time, how does it affect that team? And even though the Texans, they're not going to the Super Bowl this year, but if you take him off of that defense, they're just another team. But the only reason they're getting attention is because of him. You look at a defensive lineman who scored four touchdowns. That's unheard of. And of course, all the passes he knocks down. Sacks, everything. You definitely have to put him in the running.
Erica, what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think, obviously, like you said, it's usually an offensive achievement. The names that are going to be in the running are the same ones every year. You got Manning, Rodgers, Brady. Brees, I don't think, deserves to be in the conversation at all. As far as those three quarterbacks, my issue, even Tom Brady, obviously the quarterback for my team, but I think the MVP deserves to be somebody that's really having kind of a really breakout season, somebody that is making, like Eric said, a difference for their team. Of course, the quarterback does that. You'd be hard-pressed to find any team in the league, if you took their starting quarterback away, that they weren't going to suffer. But as far as, let's say, Manning and Brady and Rodgers, they haven't done anything super spectacular. They've won games, sure, and both Manning and Brady have broken some records, but those are career achievements. Those aren't, season achievements. So I think that those three really, to me, they don't really stand out. I think another person that needs to be in the conversation besides J.J. Watt is DeMarco Murray. And the guy has had an amazing season this year, far better than he's had, previous seasons. And he has made a solid difference for the Cowboys. He is the reason they've won as many games as they have this year. And so, to me, Watt and Murray are the two huge front runners for NFL MVP this year.
And I'm going to agree with both of you in terms of who is this person in terms of how does he impact his team? How is he a difference maker? How does he stand up when he's not in the game versus when he is in the game? And I definitely agree with you, Erica, about J.J. Watt and DeMarco Murray. But I'm going to throw another person into the mix, and I would actually say Hoyer. And let me tell you why. Because what he has done to turn around the Cleveland Browns is nothing short of amazing. You're talking about a team that literally changes quarterbacks the way people change socks. And the Browns have had no stability in that position. And even with the whole Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football hype coming in and whose team is it and all this and, you know, and all of the other questions and, you know, is he the one? And Hoyer just came in quietly, calmly, and he shut it down. And he had shut down the conversation. And outside of a Snickers commercial, I haven't seen Johnny Football. And I really think that what he has achieved and what he has accomplished in terms of elevating the Cleveland Browns is nothing short of amazing. And I definitely would look at Hoyer in the conversation, not because he's, you know, he's not a Peyton Manning. He's not, you know, a Tom Brady. But he's made a difference for his team. And that's someone else that I would look at, you know, for that MVP conversation.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely made a difference on that team, for sure. He hasn't, for me, I mean, putting up the kind of numbers I guess I would associate with an MVP. But, you know, I think it's time, you know, people really do look outside of the normal people that usually win it. I think that this seems like the MVP is kind of given out like, oh, well, this give it to this guy because he won it last year or he won it the year before. You know, I think, like, you know, to your point is that other people deserve to definitely be looked at other than the normal usual suspects, if you will.
Right.
I agree. Well, moving since we're talking about MVPs and we're talking about, you know, making a difference and who's a you know, who's making a difference on their team. What do you guys think about the current standings? So looking at where we are right now in the AFC, you've got the Patriots and the Broncos, the Chiefs, the Steelers, the Bengals, and the Colts. In the NFC, we've got the Cardinals, the Pats, Lions, the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Saints. Now, if this goes on, this would be the first time in years that the NFC East would have had two teams in the playoff run, because our teams have been so bad in that league that, you know, only the division winner has gone on. So looking at that trend and looking at teams that are just really underperforming, what do you guys make of the NFC South?
Well, I mean, before the games all started today, there was a whole bunch of 4-6 teams that are still in the playoff hunt. So, I mean, yeah, based on their records, yeah, you know, they're the weakest in football, but each of those teams can jump up and bite you if you're not focused. But, I mean, it's one of those down years where you could feasibly have someone in the playoffs that has a losing record. I don't personally agree with that. I think you should have at least a game over 500. I mean, getting into the playoffs is kind of a reward for doing that. But, I mean, yeah, they're four and six, but they're still good teams, and they can pretty much beat anybody on any given Sunday, as they say, you know, if that other team isn't ready.
Erica?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the NFC South is definitely, you know, I mean, like you were talking about, Keisha, that, you know, the NFC East, I went around calling it the NFC West last year. I mean, it was a bad division. But, you know, the NFC South works some years is that, you know, they just don't, the teams just don't get there. But, you know, you have a division winner, and whether, like Eric said, if they're not over 500 and they're the division winner, well, you know, they're in the playoffs. I remember that happened, I don't know, what was it, 3-4 years ago, I think the Seahawks, they had, I think they might have had a losing record. They had a horrible record, and they still made it into the playoffs because I think they won the division that year. So, or they might have, well, they, I think they might have been a wild card, but they got in, or I can't remember the situation, and they actually won the first round. It was just the craziest thing. So, like Eric said, you get into the playoffs, your record, a lot of times, I mean, everyone's really starting over, except for the seeds. You know, you get home field advantage and stuff, but they'll come back and bite you. I mean, just like when the Seahawks, they had a horrible record, and they knocked somebody out of the playoffs, and everybody just, you know, was dumbfounded that that could have happened. But, really any given Sunday, any given week, and it happens.
And I think that was actually the new I think they actually knocked out the Saints in
that
first round.
Yeah, I think it was.
I think they knocked out the Saints. But then, and that's a perfect example. I mean, for years the NFC West was so bad that, you know, literally, like you were saying, you know, almost every team was right at or right under 500. And again, everyone said, why are they here? You know, in between the Rams and Seattle and the Cardinals. I mean, they were just, and even the 49ers, they were just all really bad teams. But I think what's so shocking, especially right now for the NFC South, is the fact that between the Saints, the Cardinals, I'm sorry, between the Saints, excuse me, the Atlanta Falcons and the Panthers, one, if not two of those teams have pretty much been in the playoff hunt, you know, for the past 2 years. And now it's like, ooh, they're really in the playoff hunt. So I just think it's really, really interesting that we're having this conversation about that division, especially, I guess, because of how strong and how solid the Saints and the Atlanta Falcons have been, especially with those two teams going all the way to the conference championships. So how do you go from one or two of those teams going all the way to division and conference championships, and then now in the same season they're both under 500? So I think it wouldn't be so bad maybe if it was one or two, but when you have almost every team in the division under 500, that to me is absolutely shocking. So, and of course, you know, we've got the game of the week coming on tonight, my Cowboys against their division rivals, the New York Giants. So I'm going to restrain from making any comments and or predictions, but I'm going to let you all share your thoughts. So, Erica, let's start with you. How do you think tonight's game is going to go?
I think the Cowboys have this one. I mean, Eli Manning, gosh, he threw 5 interceptions last week. He just looks terrible. I mean, this is Eli Manning from last year. Interception prone. And yeah, it's easy to lay it all on the quarterback, but he's a part of why they're losing. But the Giants in general aren't a good team. Their offense seems like they can never get going. Their defense is just in confusion. It seems like the team in general doesn't know which way to go. I think that's when leadership and coaching makes a difference. Tom Coughlin, he's a veteran coach, but it just doesn't seem like he's able to get much going there. The Cowboys are kind of riding the wave right now. You know, Tony Romo should be healthy now. You know, you got Murray, you got Bryant. The team looks good. They're 7-3. They've got some confidence. I think the Cowboys, they should come away with the win, barring nothing insane happens, but, yeah.
Okay. Eric, what do you think?
Yeah, I have to agree with Erica. But initially I was thinking this might be one of those years for the Giants where they start out slow and, you know, rumors of Coughlin getting fired, you're hearing that every 5 minutes, and then all of a sudden they turn everything around and run the table and get to the playoffs. But, And looks like they started to go in that direction, but now it's they're done. So, I mean, I would expect the Cowboys to go out and run the ball and probably get close to 200 yards rushing. Romo probably get somewhere, you know, 150 yards passing, maybe a touchdown or two. And, I expect them to be able to roll over the Giants pretty good.
Well, I'm going to just simply say it's a division game. And so, you know, and we've already seen, you know, what happened. Everyone thought the Chiefs were just going to run into Oakland and just kind of run over them as well. So that's, you know, pretty much my answer is it's a division game. But I will say this, I think that the Giants are definitely a team that's really discombobulated. I think that they've kind of lost their way. They've lost their identity. There's been so much shakeup on that team. I mean, losing Victor Cruz for the season has not helped. Then, of course, he was injured last year, too. Justin Tuck no longer on the team, and just their whole offensive makeup is just totally kind of coming undone, and I just think they haven't figured out who they are yet. And I agree with you, Eric, that all the talk of, oh, is he going to get fired this week? Is he going to get fired this week? You know, that's not healthy or productive for a team, and it, you know, can affect the focus. I also think that, like Erica said, with Eli and, you know, really being interception prone last season and this season, I think that they just really have not found their way and that they're a little bit lost in their footing. I think that, yes, if the Cowboys can go in there and the O-line can keep Tony Romo upright, DeMarco Murray holds on to the football and be willing to also go down and not create turnovers and fumble the ball, that will be critical. And I think, you know, given that the Cowboys should be able to go in and get the win, and that's kind of what we're hoping. And then and we'll see what happens. So I'm going to jump to our last two games for Monday night. And, of course, and I say two games for Monday because, of course, as you know, the Bills are totally snowed out, so they had to move the Bills versus the Jets game. What do you guys think about the direction of the New York Jets and where they're going, and how do you think that moving the game to a Monday night into a new location will impact both teams' ability to perform? And we'll start with Eric.
Well, I'm thinking it's probably going to be somewhat of a preseason game to start off with, because I know they haven't had much time to practice with all the snow and trying to figure out how they can, first of all, get to the stadium. So that, you know, there's not a lot of reps going on in practice, not a whole lot of film study going on. So I expected it would start off to be kind of a sloppy game, but I think they'll eventually get into the groove. And I think Buffalo is a better team than the Jets. So I think Buffalo, yeah, would end up coming out on top. But as we were saying earlier, you know, you never know. It's a crapshoot every week, but I expect that Buffalo will come out on top.
Okay. Erica, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I agree. I mean, I think Buffalo's going to come out with a win. The Jets are just, oh, my gosh. I mean, they are terrible. They're awful. They're poorly managed. They're poorly coached. Their quarterback, their state of their quarterback, you know, situation is in flux. You know, that affects the receivers and that, you know, there's just no confidence in the Jets. I don't even know if the Jets have confidence in themselves, which, you know, really does you know, there's no stability there. And I don't know how you expect a team to win and play well when there's no stability. You know, the Bills aren't the best team in the world, but at least there's some semblance of stability and control in that environment. And, you know, it is a division game, but I think that I just think the Bills are the better team here. And, you know, Rex Ryan will find himself out of a job at the end of the year. They need to look at the draft and find, you know, get a real solid franchise quarterback. And whoever made the decision to draft Geno Smith cannot be in charge of drafting the next quarterback. And, you know, it's just Eric Decker quoted saying that it's hard to see Emmanuel Sanders' success with Peyton Manning. You know, I mean, he's bitter. I mean, I don't know if bitter is the right word, but he's wistful, if you will, of his success last year. And, you know, you get a quality receiver like that who's frustrated with the game and he's not happy his first year at a new team, and that does not bode well for things. So that was a little bit off topic, I know, but it being the AFC East, I have many opinions on the matter, but I expect Buffalo to come out with it.
Well, no, actually, I'm really glad you said that because I was going to ask that question, you know, since we were talking about Tom Coughlin. I was going to say, you know, what do you think are Rex Ryan's chances of coming back? Because that's another one whose name is constantly on the hot seat, but he keeps sticking around. And I was going to say, is this the season that finally, you know, bites Rex figuratively and literally in the butt as a coach?
Yeah. It's the straw that broke the camel's back this season. This is a culmination of everything, of the media circus that surrounds them, of the bad decisions, bad coaching, his big mouth. It's seriously a culmination of everything. And honestly, if I think it's 90% chance he gets fired. But if he doesn't get fired, I think that we can all just agree that whoever owns and runs the Jets are a bunch of idiots. I mean, it is seriously idiots. That's all there is to it, because if you don't fire him, you have a death wish for your franchise.
Okay. Well, I have one other question before we get ready to move. Yeah. Go ahead, Eric.
I was going to say, it's pretty much known for a couple of decades now that the Jets really don't know how to really run a team. So if he does stay there, I won't be surprised. But I would love to see him go, and I would love to see the Bears defensive coordinator go, and I would love to see Rex come home to Chicago to be the defensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears, because when he was a defensive coordinator for the Ravens, they had one of the best defenses in history. So if we can ever get that straight, we're going places. So that's what I'm hoping.
Okay, well, I got one last Jets question. Oh, no, go ahead. Well, I was going to say I have one last Jets question, and then we're going to move on to college, because I know you guys love to talk college football. My last question is this Michael's, what's going to happen to Vic then? You know, is this going to be his last season? Because if they make coaching changes, do you think Vic has a chance to still stay on the team?
Well, I said a couple weeks ago, I think. Go ahead, Erica.
I think Vic should be done. I mean, he hasn't done much with the Jets, obviously. A lot, you can attribute a lot of that to things we've already said, but I just don't know that Vic has I think he's definitely still a solid athlete. I just don't know that he still has what it takes to be a starting quarterback in this league against these younger defenses and these younger teams. He's older and he's beat up. I mean, you know, he's a mobile quarterback who they get beat up on because of how they move around. I think that he still has a lot to offer in the way of his knowledge of the game, but I think as far as physicality, he's just not where he used to be. And I just can't see that he can sustain a team for an entire season. I just don't know that he has 16 games in a row in him anymore.
Okay. Eric?
I remember one season, I think, where he played a full season. I don't remember any other seasons where he played a full season, was able to stay healthy. Also, you know, in his later years, if you will, he's gotten to be a turnover machine. I mean, he's throwing picks. He's fumbling the ball multiple times a game. And also in regards to his preparation, his leadership, he's admittedly said, you know, I haven't prepared the best that I could, you know, for games, especially the one a couple weeks ago. But he admitted when he was in Atlanta, you know, he's the first one to leave, last one to get there, wouldn't watch game film. And some of that is starting to come back around. So I said a couple weeks ago, I think, you know, he should retire because he's not – His body of work doesn't say, okay, this is a guy that can lead an NFL team anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay,
I agree.
Great. Well, we're gonna move on to college, but I just wanted to give a shout out really quickly to T.Y. Hilton. Congratulations today on the birth of your baby girl and for getting that touchdown for her. I know that that's a huge moment in his life today, and he dedicated today's touchdown to her, so congratulations to him. That's got to be a proud moment to be a daddy, so congratulations. And we're going to move on to college football. So I know that this is your thing and that you guys, you know, really take off well in this area. I'm just going to give out some really quick SWAC news. For those who you know, I am a proud alumni of Mississippi Valley State University. So, of course, I'm all about the Southwestern Athletic Conference. And a big turnover game and huge win for Jackson State University over Alcorn State University, 34-31, huge in-state rivalry game. So that was a really good win and really, really close. Eric, I'm going to let you go ahead and start and talk about, what matchups and what games did you see yesterday that you think were the standouts?
Well, for me, I'll be honest. I don't know what it was yesterday, but I just could not get into the games, really. It just wasn't all that exciting. Of course, a lot of the teams that I would normally watch, they were playing, you know, what they call the the cream posts on their schedule. And, you know, so there was, you know, a lot of, you know, 55 to 6 or, you know, 45 to nothing. So based on that, I really couldn't get into some of those games. It was more so individual things that were happening, like when Jameis Winston, you know, shoved the referee, or, you know, the guy from Oklahoma, Samaji Perine, breaks the all-time rushing record in a single game, which was set last week, which, you know, broke a 15-year-old record. So more so stuff like that than, I guess, the games themselves. So I don't know about you, Erica, but that's kind of where I was at.
Yeah, I, you know, freaking Florida State, I've not made it a secret how much I don't like this team and how much I don't like Winston. But I really would like to start a discussion about why barely beating unranked teams every game in a weak-ass schedule deserves a ranking. I understand they're undefeated. Sure, we could belabor that point all day, but again, their schedule's not all that tough, and they're barely, I mean, they had like a 3 seconds left in the game. Florida State's kicker kicked a field goal to beat Boston College. And then the AP comes out today and ranks them number one. I want to know what they're drinking over there. I just completely do not understand it. And, I mean, Alabama and Oregon, at least they play opponents every year. I mean, Alabama has some cream puffs on their schedule. Oregon does, too. They played Colorado, who's not great. But they still have a solid, you know, you put Florida State against Alabama or Oregon, and you're going to find that they lose, and probably lose badly. And I just don't get it. And then Jameis Winston pushing that ref, and the ACC comes out and says, oh, it was incidental. Well, yeah, I mean, you guys have gotten him out of so many offenses already. Why not add another to the list? I mean, they keep defending this kid. I mean, oh, my gosh. I have just about had it, let me tell you.
So, yeah, I was kind of surprised that they kind of just swept that under the rug.
Yeah, the whole thing. I mean, it's, you look at his timeline of offenses, and you think you're reading something from, you know, Cox. I mean, it's completely insane.
I think that, and I will say this, Erica, I love your refreshing honesty and your rants and your, you know, the fact that you do not hide how you feel about Florida State or Jameis Winston. I have to say again, because like I said, you know, I really don't follow college, and I think that what you're talking about is another one of the reasons why. You know, I think at some point there has to be some accountability. At some point there has to be some responsibility taken, and I think that when you can take accountability and responsibility, then that speaks to leadership. And truthfully, the way the league is right now, I don't think that they're going to put up with these types of antics. And I think that they're doing him a huge disservice on the collegiate level by not preparing him for the professional level. Because you see how they've indefinitely suspended Adrian Peterson. You see what they've done to Ray Rice. And I just don't know how many more, quote-unquote, bad acts that the league is going to put up with, because you're affecting the brand. When you affect the brand, you affect the money. And when you affect the money, you have to go. And I don't think that they are honestly preparing him for that reality, that if they are willing to suspend Adrian Peterson, one of the top running backs in the league, in the history of the league, you know, and just in terms of the records that he's set and broken, if they're willing to suspend him, I can only imagine what's going to happen to Jameis Winston if he pulls one of these multiple numerous stunts when he gets to the league, because the reality is he can declare, you know, after this season. He can declare after this season, and where he goes in the ranking and in the draft is really going to be critical. I mean, even look at Johnny Football, you know, another Heisman winner, but so much uncertainty about him, the person, that it dropped him in the draft ranking. So I don't even begin to know what's going to happen with Winston if he does not turn this around.
Yeah, I actually wrote a post this week. I wrote an article this week for Gridiron Girl about why I believe Jameis Winston won't make it in the NFL. You know, you can go to gridirongirl.org in the Pro Talk section and look for it. And I talk about all those things, Kishi, that like you're saying, it's a real, you know, he can declare, and I have a suspicion that he may, with all of the troubles that he's been facing this year, I think he'll want out. I definitely do, which would be a huge mistake for him, not only because he needs a college degree, because guys need something to fall back on if they get hurt, but, you know, he gets into the league, and I make this point in my article that you hand this kid a bunch of money, you give him a bunch of fame, and how does everybody think he's going to react? How is he going to adapt? I mean, he's in a bubble right now. Everybody's defending him. Florida State's protecting him. He's in a bubble right now. You take him out of that bubble, and it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be a really volatile, bad situation for him. And, you know, I don't like Florida State, and I'm not a big fan of his, but that's just sad. And I really hope that, you know, he can turn it around. I hope that he can come to his senses.
And I hope that he lands on a team where he's going to have a coach that's strong enough. And he also has a team with veterans who are strong enough to also be able to help and guide him. Well, we've got 3 minutes left in the show, so I want to make sure that we get to all of our closing information that we have to do. So I want to make sure I give the last of our announcements out. But before I do, what are you guys doing for Thanksgiving? Anything special? Any family traditions?
Well, for me, we've got a couple of relatives coming into town. My daughter's coming into town from college. She's up in Chicago going to college, so she's coming down. And she'll be coming down with my mother-in-law as well. So we'll be, you know, hanging out, catching up, and eating a lot of turkey and watching a lot of football.
Awesome. Way to go, Erica.
It'll be my husband and me, my three kids, and then we have a friend who doesn't have any family in town. He'll be coming over to our house and eating a lot, watching football, you know, screaming at the TV. So, fun stuff.
Awesome. Well, I will be doing the same thing. I will be spending the holidays with my family and our fabulous new addition, my little nephew. I am so excited. I am a first-time auntie, so I cannot wait to be able to, I mean, even though he's just a baby, and he's, you know, it's just the fact of being able to spend the holidays with my family and my entire family because my brother's military, so he's finally home. Yay! So, great. Yay, so big shout-out, much love to our military men and women all across the country, especially those who are not able to be home with their families this holiday season. Know that you were thought about and you were loved and missed. And we're going to start closing out. That about does it for another edition of The Blitz here on Blog Talk Radio and UltimateSportsTalk.com. Again, go to UltimateSportsTalk.com for the latest MMA, WWE. Excuse me. I thought my voice was going to hold out. And Major Sports News Daily. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Gridiron Beauties, for amazing women playing American football globally. Don't forget to check out Gridiron Girl on Twitter and gridirongirl.org for College Football Insights Weekly. And you can also find our awesome Erica there. Again, follow me on Twitter. I'm at Kishi's Cuties, KESHISCUTIES. You can follow Erica at PatsFangirl12. That's PatsFangirl12. And you can follow Eric at FitForLife. That's FitForLife. And for more football tweets, use our hashtag, TheNoJokeFootball. So, again, visit No Joke Football Project and shop for the greatest deals on tees, hoodies, and leggings. Go visit the shop now. Let us know what you like. Let us know which one is your favorite. and use their Twitter, use your Twitter handle, and you can even win something if you shop by November the 30th. Hurry and enter today. Again, catch Erica and at Cover 3 during NFL season, plus, again, her Are You Kidding rant on YouTube. And if you missed her latest rant, follow Erica on her timeline so you can visit her YouTube channel. You guys, this was awesome. This was fun. Thank you so much for, you know, joining again today. I absolutely, positively love co-hosting this show with you all. You two totally rock.
Anything else you guys wanted to say?
Same to you.
Awesome. Well, hey, listen, you know what? It's time to close out. And thanks again so much for everyone that tuned in tonight and listened to our show. We will be back again next week.